Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will be finding common ground and taking it to the next level. This is your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You'll also see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now tonight, it's always my pleasure to welcome Dr. Mary Lou McIntyre. She is an author, a past life connector, and a fear buster. She helps those suffering from irrational fears to mend the past so they can overcome their fears and live happy, healthy, successful lives. Her three books are The Fast Road to Happiness, Journey into Now, Life is Forever, Get Used to It, and The Forever Prince, Listening to an Angel Voice in My Head. These books will assist you on the spiritual path and provide roadmaps to enjoy your life forever. Now, to schedule a past life exploration or learn more about her books, go to MaryLouMcIntyre.com, and that's Mary Lou spelled M-A-R-I-L-O-U, McIntyre, M-C-I-N-T-Y-R-E.com. So we have several callers on the line, and we're going to get right to the calls in a minute. But before we begin, I just want to let people know that in order for Dr. McIntyre to be able to connect with your Akashic records, you need to let her know what fears are present in your life or what continuing life challenges you have so that she can connect with the appropriate life that will help provide healing for you. So we have the caller stacked up, and we're going to get right to the phone lines, if that's okay with you, Mary Lou.
Sure, that's what I'm here for. I would just like a minute, though, to give people a three-sentence tool to help them break bad habits or phobias and addictions.
Go for it.
Good. This information is for those with the eyes to see and the ears to hear what God or infinite intelligence are saying and guiding us into. Focus always on overcoming problems and achieving the highest and best possible goals available. Reach out to the angel forever for closer contact if you wish. These are words from the angel that inspired me to write the Forever Principles. And she says, always remember, never accept death as the end. Amen.
I like that.
That's the principle of truth.
Okay. Well, we seem to have lost a couple of callers. I don't know what happened to them. We're going to go to Yvette first.
Hello.
Yep, I'm trying to bring her live. Technical difficulties. Yvette, you're going to be in limbo for a minute, honey. Yvette,
hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. Say hello to Dr. McIntyre.
Hi, Dr. McIntyre.
Hello, Yvette. How are you?
Pretty good. So I guess my fears or trepidation at this point right now is I'm taking a job I really don't like. I feel like I don't feel like I'm moving forward, and I feel like I'm taking a step back, and I'm not happy, but there's a purpose why the job was given to me, but I don't want to be there, you know, an indefinite amount of time. I know I have things I want to do, but it's always like I need money, or I have time, but I don't have money. It's one of those things, you know, right now.
So what exactly is it that keeps plaguing your life?
Plaguing me? I mean, right now, I guess for me it's finances and or mobility to move forward, like procrastination somewhat and just feeling motivated to achieve my goals.
Okay, so are you having financial problems, or are you just not as wealthy as you'd like to be?
No, I mean, cash is tight, so I had to take this job. So when I had the time, like let's say, for instance, when I was...
Uh-oh, are you there? Hello?
Yvette, can you hear us?
You faded out.
Yeah. Yvette, are you still there? She's still showing up on the board. Yvette, what I'm going to do, hon, is take the next caller, and I'll come back to you. So hang in there unless you can speak up and we can hear you now.
Yeah, when she was talking, it was breaking up and difficult to understand her. So there's something wrong with her phone, I think.
Okay. Yvette, we'll get back to you. Don't hang up. Okay, we're going to Randy. Randy, you're live on the air. Say hello to Dr. McIntyre.
Hi, Dr. McIntyre.
Hi, Randy. Good to talk
Hi.
To you. What can I do
so
for you?
So you want to know, what did you want to know before you could read? Do you want to know
What your phobia or fear, your problem is that is affecting every aspect of your life and you don't seem
right
to be
now
able
it's
to
money.
Cope?
Yeah, right now it's money.
Well, when you say right now, you mean this week or this month
Well, you know, it's worse it's worse today. But, you know, it's ongoing.
So you have financial problems that you don't seem to be able to cope with.
Mhm.
Yes. Okay, well, let's go back. I want you just to take a real deep breath and draw in the white light to illuminate yourself, and we'll go to the Temple of Learning where the Akashic Records are. And here comes my guide. He thinks that there's something more that you should be inquiring about. He's a little busybody. So on second thought, is there something more problematic to you than finance? It's up to you, yes or no.
I don't know. But right now, that's all I could think about right this today. So
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
maybe he could
give
me a hint. And then I could say, oh, yeah.
Well, no. we don't have time to do that because he'd have to scale through everything. So we will, he's turning to the lifetime. He's showing me that you had as a gypsy. And you were involved in a very big family. And you moved around a lot, and you entertained, and sometimes your group opened up little businesses, and you would stay in a community until you were able to rip everybody off that you could. That's not very good news, and these situations are not always good news. But you were not the most honest of people in dealing with finances. Mm-hmm. And you did, you know, a lot of trick things, and sometimes you would keep a person involved while other members of your family ransacked their house. And, you know, this was just your lifestyle. This was the way you were raised. This is the way the your community survived was by doing things like this, because you were so completely, you were in Italy, some part of Italy that I can't really pick up right now. Maybe you can focus on that and draw more information. But you were totally, as a group of people, rejected from the social order. I mean, they were, everybody was so prejudiced against you. And that's because you didn't, it's kind of a back and forth road. You had no permanent dwellings or working, you know, or jobs or business, and therefore you couldn't really establish yourself in a community because they wouldn't allow you, for the most part, to even, you know, open a business. You couldn't get financing. You couldn't get help. And so you had to help yourself, literally. And so a lot of problems and a sense of rejection and neglect, because if there wasn't money, there wasn't food either. And so there were times when that happened. And so it was not an easy time. Some people, you know, when they were gypsies, they had a wonderful time because they were dancing gypsies, and that's all they did. And everybody else worked for them so they could keep dancing. But this was not your case. And it created within you a lot of bitterness towards life in general. I mean, you didn't wake up in the morning happy to wake up. It was just another day of strain and stress. And, you know, I feel real sorry telling you this, but I want you to feel this. I want you to go into that lifetime and get in touch with it so that you can get rid of that, because by the time, oh, let's see, you were... you were in your maybe late 30s, early 40s, and you were just so depressed and upset with life, and you had no real friends and close family members. You were a real loner, and one day you just laid down and thought to yourself, I am not going to do this anymore. I don't like this life. I'm not coming back, and I'm not enjoying it, and I'm not doing it anymore. And I think you took some pills or something. And that's what, and so you passed out. You committed suicide, actually. And the thought that was on your mind was how much you hated being here and the people and, you know, the whole experience and never having any money. And that's what became like locked into your subconscious, and you have carried it forward since then, which has been about 300 years and four lifetimes. So now it's time to get rid of that and realize that it is a beautiful life. You do have an opportunity to you know, become friends with people. The more you reach out to help people, the more enjoyment and the more love you realize in this lifetime. Have you been able to be in touch with anything that I've said to you? Has this helped you?
Depressed me. I don't know if it helped me.
I don't know. Hopefully.
Well, no, don't get locked in it. You got to get rid of it. Remember what I just read to you.
I'm not sure how to get rid of it.
You get rid of it by not relating to it anymore, by waking up in the morning and saying, what a glorious day I look forward to, who I can help today, or what I'm going to fix the family for dinner. Let me see how I can make their life better.
I'm a social worker. I help people every day. So, I mean.
Well, that can make you happy.
And I help my family, and I'm a good person. I don't know. So.
Well, of course you are. I didn't indicate that you weren't a good person, but you were the one that said you were depressed.
I said I'm having financial issues.
You didn't like what you heard. And of course you didn't like what you heard because it's causing a deep-seated problem, and that's blocking for some
reason. But it wasn't a nice story, so I was like, nobody would like that.
What?
Yeah. I said nobody would like that story if they heard it. That was their best.
Wait.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, wait till I stop talking, and now you say, because each time I've been talking, I couldn't hear you. Say it again, please.
I said, I don't think anybody would like that story if they heard that story. That's sad.
Well,
it's
not a matter of whether you like it or not. That's what's in the book. That's what's in your subconscious.
Right.
That's what you have to get rid of because it is not a part of your divine nature. You see, nobody is expected to like you said. And so you've got to get rid of it. You don't want that to be a part of your personality or your lifestyle. And whatever it is blocking the flow of financial opulence into your life.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
see
what you work with on that. Be positive and get rid of that. Just cleanse yourself. Keep washing the inside. You know, wash the subconscious. Wash the brain. Wash everything with the white fire and the violet flame. Okay? Try that and, you know, keep in touch with me. Let me know what's happening, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
God bless.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Okay. We've lost Ellen. Randy, hang in there for a minute. I'm having some technical difficulties here.
Oh, dear.
Okay. That's all right. It's moving along. Let's see. Let me find Ellen. Here she is. Hi, Ellen. How are you?
Hi, David. You found me.
I did. Yes, I did. You disappeared for a while, but I found your area code. So say hello to Dr. McIntyre.
Hello, Dr. McIntyre.
Hi, Ellen.
I've been giving some thought to your question, how to phrase it, and I hope this is what you're looking for. I seem to have a fear about, like, revealing who I am or opening up about situations or things in my life. I'm a very private person, it seems, but I think a part of it is that I'm very afraid to open up about myself. It's probably fear that they're not going to like me if they know the real story or they'll think less of me. So that's the fear I want to talk about.
Okay, Ellen, and it sounds like it borders on a lack of self-confidence in yourself. Do you have a sense of that when you say you're afraid people won't like you if they get to know you? Okay, well, let's go find out what caused that so you can get rid of that and fill yourself with righteous esteem. How's that?
Sounds good.
Okay. As you were talking, my guide pulled down your book, at, the Book of Life, you know, the Akashic Records, Your Lifetimes, and turned to, it was a time during the French Revolution where the people were sick and tired of not having jobs and food, and they rose up against the aristocracy that thought of nothing but themselves and their own pleasure. You're aware of that time in history, aren't you?
Yes, and in fact, I did some reading on it just within the last couple of months.
Is that right? Well,
yes.
I wonder how, I wish we had time to find out how that made you feel as you were reading that, because you participated in that. You were one of the rioters, I guess would be the most appropriate word. And you were kind of like a spy. I don't, you were a man, as a matter of fact. Now it's unfolding a little bit more. Try to visualize or feel what I'm sharing with you now, Ellen. You would go to the wealthy, and you would like pretend to do yard work or paneling, or, you know, some kind of job, and you would go there and ask for a job and get to talking to, usually their head servant or house manager, and you were a very nice looking, friendly looking person with a great personality, and you could talk to these people and find out almost how much money the owner was making. I mean, you were able to find out all kinds of information about these individuals whose home you would go to. And then you would go back to the, they called themselves a caste. I don't know why that was, but that's what I'm seeing. And you would go to the caste leader and give him the information, you know, the name and addresses and all of that. And they would figure out how to use that information to acquire the money and possessions of that wealthy person, or how to completely destroy the reputation. I mean, you were out to really show these wealthy that they couldn't get away with treating you people like you weren't important, or that they had no concern for you. So you were going to make them have concern and know that you were tired of being walked on. And so you did a lot of things that were very sneaky, and you were very clever about it, but you were not basically a sneaky type person, and it started weighing on you. You know, that while you knew the wealthy were wrong and that they should provide jobs and fair pay and, you know, fair behavior towards you too, but the way that you were all going about it, you weren't sure. You began to think maybe that was not the best way. Maybe you were behaving worse than the aristocracy. So this was kind of a struggle within your own consciousness, because you were basically a very good, loving person. And so this really started bothering you. You withdrew more and more from your role as, well, you were considered the chief spy because you were so good at getting information and finding out things. And it just bothered you more and more that this was the label that was being attached to you, which certainly didn't indicate anything honorable or respectable or, you know, kind even. So you finally did just completely withdraw, and of course then they kind of turned on you because they were afraid that you were going to turn them in and tell some of these people that you had hurt as a means of like maybe recovering something that you were going to reveal, you know, their hiding place or their techniques or something like that. And by golly, they ended up, they just ended up really turning on you. And you just kept trying to calm them down and, you know, make sense and realize that you just, you just wanted to get away. You didn't want to do them any harm. And, you know, you just tried to talk sense to them and tried to get them to leave you alone, basically. And they were so warped that they couldn't trust you, they didn't believe you, and they jumped on you, and they beat you to death. And while that was happening, you thought, well, I deserve this because I have not been a nice person. And so I deserve to die this way, and to lose all my friends, and to never, you know, realize any financial substance or prosperity myself. I deserve this. And that's what you passed with in your consciousness. And that's what you have carried forward since that lifetime. Without consciously being aware, obviously, or you wouldn't have asked about it. That's why you have this feeling of having to be very secret, not to tell people about yourself. You think they won't care, or if you do tell them, they won't like it, and then they won't like you. And so you just put up this front, and you don't show them the real you, which I see is just a beautiful. If you opened up to people, they would flock to you. You have a beautiful light within you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Do you feel it? You're welcome. Do you feel that? I want you to focus on that light, not on, being having to be so private. Okay?
I will do that. Yes, so that's
okay.
How I get
God bless you.
Fear. Thank you.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Okay, hon. Bye.
Thanks for calling, Ellen. God bless.
You too.
All right, we're moving on to area codes now. We're first going to take area code 478, and you are live on the air. What is your name, please?
Patricia.
Hi, Patricia. How are you tonight?
I'm well. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. Say hello to Dr. McIntyre.
Hi, Dr. McIntyre.
Hi, Patricia. How can I help you?
Well, I have a problem with finding a committed love relationship.
Uh-huh. That's what you want to find out about? Why
yes,
why
yes,
you're having
yes,
this problem?
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Okay, fill yourself with light, feel lovable, and let's take a little journey and find out what happened here. I'll tell you right now, it's a case of payback. That's what I'm getting right now. You're learning now. You are learning what it's like to be rejected in the relationship area. Okay, so you can change that practically overnight. But let me tell you, I'll give you the gory details.
Okay, give me the details.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, this was. It was in Siam. I think that's called Turkey now. I'm not sure, but I think it's called Turkey. But back in those days, oh my goodness, it was just golden. Everything was just so perfect, and it really was a perfect society. And everybody had, what they needed and wanted, and everybody got along with everybody else, and it was like one big happy family. And there was a very wealthy business owner who was your father, and the business was ladies' garments, and from girdles from girdles to gowns was the advertised logo. From girdles to gowns, and he was very wealthy because his fashions and his business ability was really remarkable. And so you had more than what you needed, and you never wanted for anything. You were very pretty, very lovely. You were his only daughter, and so you were very spoiled. And you thought you could walk on water, so to speak. I mean, you thought you were really hot stuff. Being kind of slangy because your guides want you to realize that this is the attitude truly that you had and that you have to get rid of. Just don't allow it anymore because the suitors that came, courting you were never good enough. They were never as smart or as wealthy as your father, for one thing. That was the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just, you kept, you were nice to them, but like you would be nice to a school teacher or a maid. You never really opened up lovingly to anybody, and you just cut them off. And you did end up being an old maid, so to speak. I mean, you never did have a permanent relationship, but you didn't care because you had everything else, and you could buy men by the dozen. So, it didn't really matter to you. So in that lifetime, when you passed, you were quite elderly, and you were very very happy, with the life that you'd had. And there was no remorse, of course, for the people that you'd hurt or anything. And so that's why in this lifetime, in this reading, they had me start off by telling you this is payback. This is to soften your heart so you realize the importance, of being loving and of being loved, which is something that you completely missed in that lifetime. and have not fully realized since. And so this is your lifetime to, you know, get rid of all of that and magnify the love for yourself and for others, because as you love yourself, you can send that love out and just attract a loving person. How's that?
Oh, that is great, because I, when you were saying some of those things, I kind of still have some of those things with me now. Like,
uh-huh.
Everybody,
yeah,
somebody has
that,
to be perfect. They can't have
it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It is so true. And right, and at, as you say, elderly, I had what I want. I mean, what I want. I'm successful, and sometimes I feel like I can pay my own bills. I can travel on my own. I can do this. And I really,
uh-huh.
And then I say, I really don't need a partner. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
There you go.
How true
that
is.
Well,
yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So
yeah,
now start focusing on your heart, my dear, and it's not a matter of. See, you're talking about financial support and financial well-being, but now, you know, think about sharing your life with somebody and how it can enhance. You know, like going to the theater or having a picnic with somebody, or you know, that kind of thing. Okay.
Yes. Okay, thank you so much.
And it you'll draw that love person to you.
Okay, thank you.
Let me know when it, invite me to
I
the
will.
Wedding.
I will, thank you.
God
hey,
bless you.
Good night, honey. Thank you for calling.
Good night. Thank you.
Yeah.
Good night.
Okay, we're going to move on to area code 818. And you are live on the air. What is your name, please?
Hi, this is Zoe.
Zoe?
Hello, Dr. McIntyre.
Well, hello, Zoe. Are you calling from Los Angeles?
Yes, that would be where I am at the moment.
Oh, for goodness sakes. It's good to hear from you.
You too. You
yeah,
too.
So what can I do for you, dear Art?
Well, I was thinking this through as you were taking other callers, and I was trying to figure out how to phrase it in such a way that it would make sense. But my biggest concern, or the thing that I'm most, that I believe has kept me stymied throughout this lifetime, is my concern from making a mistake. Well, no, actually, that's not quite right. A mistake is not a big enough word. It's my, you know, I'm more like concerned about making a monstrous digression that could take someone's life or livelihood or do something that would harm them irreparably.
Uh-huh.
And I know it's pretty deep-seated, but it has stopped me from doing certain work, taking certain jobs. It has stopped me from speaking out. It has stopped me from doing many, many things. So,
okay, tell me this. Have you ever had any dreams about a past life?
Oh, yeah. When I was
that
a,
relates to this situation.
It relates to this. I don't know. I don't know. But the first half of my life, practically, or the first third of this current life, I was reliving my last life.
Why?
During World War II.
Why aren't you living this life? I've never heard anybody say that.
I have no other way to describe it other than the fact that I knew for years that I was alive during World War II and I was actively participating. And
no, that's not an answer to my question. My question
okay.
is, why are you reliving your last life?
Oh, the
in this
time,
life. Why are you doing that? Why aren't you living this
know.
Life?
Some
and and fulfilling the contract or the mission that you agreed to before you came?
Well, in the first place, I didn't know that that was unusual, you know, because I started out doing it as a child, so I didn't realize it was not something that happened to everyone. Later on, when somebody mentioned the term bleed through, it did me in such a way as to be able to release an awful lot of what was happening from that. And, you know,
you mean you relived going to war and all of that?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Seriously. And
okay, and so where are you now? Are you in this lifetime, or are you still afraid to come into this lifetime? That's the deal, you know. You're afraid to come into this lifetime.
Well, apparently that's the case, and that's why I am always so hesitant about what I say or what I do or the choices I make, because I'm concerned about...
Okay, this is the deal. Take a deep breath, Zoe. Take a deep breath. Fill yourself with light. And, well, this is all very unusual. And so the reading, the information they're giving me is unusual. They are not going to tell you or tell me the name of the individual that you were. You were an individual in charge of millions of people. This was way back, probably about the time of the Crusades.
Mm-hmm.
And... Well, you were one of the popes during that crusade, or you were the pope that started the Crusades.
Oh, great.
Now, they don't want you to, you know, hate yourself or anything like that. That's who you were. And you know how you handled it. You sent these Catholics out to kill everybody that wasn't a Catholic and pack up all their gold and all their goods and bring them back to the Vatican. And oh my goodness, there was the lions killing the Christians. There was mass
mm-hmm.
murder, rape, everything. And you're in robes that look like they're woven gold. I don't know quite how to explain the fabric made of gold. You were wearing those, and you were eating, delicate candies, and oh my, you were just enjoying yourself so much while all this slaughter was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And you ended up, of course, it went on and on and on and didn't stop for probably decades. You contracted some kind of a disease that they're not labeling it, but it caused your insides to wither.
Mm.
I don't know if it was like a bug or what it was, but well, it was definitely a karmic thing. And so whatever you had in your life was didn't even belong to you, and so you didn't even belong to yourself, and so you just withered up. I mean, it was very unusual. But because in subsequent, spiritual training and stuff that you get between lifetimes, you certainly came to realize that that was not right behavior for somebody walking this planet, no matter how much power you had. And that's why, without realizing it now, until now, you've had this fear of doing something horrendous. Well, Zoe, you've got to realize that was back then. There are not going to be any crusades. You are not going to be in a position. Well, perhaps you could run for president someday. Who knows? But, you know, the probability of you having that kind of power is pretty remote. But the possibility of you being able to, use your intelligence and your knowledge to help people is very powerful. And that's what you should focus on. You understand that?
Yes, I do. Interesting you should mention becoming president or not having that opportunity, given the fact that of how many presidents I've managed to help put into office.
Oh, really? Yeah. Huh. How interesting. Well, but so that you have to just get rid of that fear. That was back then. And that has nothing to do with even anything that you would want to do to hurt people. And with your intelligence, that wouldn't happen unless you did it deliberately. And so just get rid of that whole lifetime. Don't even think about it. Just say, I am loving. I love God. I love humanity. I serve humanity. Talk to yourself. Teach yourself. Okay?
Thank you. Absolutely.
Okay, Zoe, thank you for calling in, hon. God bless.
God bless you, hon.
Good night. Okay, we're moving on to area code 58.
Wait, let me have a breather. That was a heavy one.
Sure, sure. Do you want to talk about something off on another vein before we move on?
Let's see. Maybe, yes, I could suggest if people want a past life reading over the phone. I am giving these readings for a half hour. For any major phobia or addiction or fear, I go to my website, as David mentioned, MarilouMcIntyre.com, and there's a page where you can, it's called Contact, where you get in touch with me to set up an appointment. And if you do it this month, instead of $75, the requested charge would be $50 if when you write your name, you put a dash and then write David. So I'll know that you, that you heard from this program, and that you have the right to the discount. So if you want to do that, I would be more than happy to serve you. Okay. How's that, David?
That sounds beautiful. So if you want a more extended reading, folks, that's what you do. And in case you did not get the spelling of Dr. McIntyre's name earlier, since these are later callers, it's Mary Lou, MarilouMcIntyre. McIntyre is McIntyre. So that's MaryLouMcIntyre.com. And are you ready to move on?
Okay, let's move on now. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, we're going to area code 586, and I'm bringing that person live. You're live on the air. What is your name, please?
Hi, my name is Teresa.
Hi, Teresa. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Say hello to Dr. McIntyre.
Hi, Dr. McIntyre. Nice to meet you.
Well, you too, Teresa. Thank you for calling in. What can I do for you?
I don't know. I kind of got this attitude. Maybe it comes with a past life of almost like banning people from the planet and wanting to abolish all evil from the planet. And I've been getting like really feisty about it lately. And I keep thinking to myself, who do I think I am that I can do this?
Well, now, tell me exactly what it is that you are doing.
Nothing. I'm just having the thoughts of doing that, just banishing all evil from
the planet. Of doing what?
Pardon me? Oh, in my mind. Just in my mind, just blowing all evil off the planet and asking individuals, people who are trying to scam me, I tell them to leave the planet. People who are trying to call me, they'll take over my computer.
I love it.
Get off the planet. You're no
I
more
don't
welcome.
I'm
anything
wrong with that. I think if they're being mean to you, you have the right to do it. Well, I probably shouldn't say that, but that is funny. You made my day there, girl. however, let's get down to a real aspect of oh my goodness, you're a very, very old soul, and you've been on many planets, and that's it. My gosh, what they're showing me is another planet, and you have blue skin, and you're a lovely woman, and you're in a position of leadership. And you're kind of like a judge. I mean, people, you know, they're not, there isn't like crime that, you know, that, like we have here. But the way people treat each other, or the disposition of the land, or, you know, something like that, where a decision has to be made comes to you. You make those decisions. And if people, in your estimation, after hearing, you know, the case, so to speak, if they have really done wrong, if they are a wrongdoer, you send them on your planet. Or there's like a ring around your planet where souls that need to recover or recuperate from anything other than, you know, well-being, and those who are not upright, not honest, are sent. And it's they like survive, well, just barely, and you were a very good judge, and you kept everybody, you know, very happy, and everything was moving smoothly. But that, my dear, is why these wrongdoers that you run into, that's why you say, get off my planet, and that's why. So, yeah,
okay.
But you do have to stop doing that, and I'll tell you what they're saying that you should do instead is visualize the person filled, you know, with white fire, and command that they do that they do the right thing, and send that to them. Command they do the right thing. And, of course, you won't get caught in their web or anything. But that way, you see, you're helping to heal them. And
yeah, that would make
when you
sense.
Reach out to help people, you you're helping to heal yourself. So, but now I'm going to dream about that. I just know I am.
No, but that's great because, like you said,
the
attitude.
No, you gotta stop doing that. You can't do that anymore. Okay.
Yes.
Really
yeah, I like
something?
To transmute it. I like to transmute that. Thank you, because I knew I had
exactly.
to have that attitude from somewhere, but it's good to transmute
uh-huh.
it in this environment, and I like that a lot. Yeah, thank
exactly.
you.
Exactly. And that way you can help people and help yourself. You take care.
Oh, good night, Teresa.
Thank you so much. Thank you, David.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Doctor.
You're welcome.
Okay. We do have some more callers. Are you ready to move on, Dr. McIntyre?
Yes, I am. That was a good one.
That was a good one. I liked it very much. That really spoke to what her issue was. And so, folks, you know, when you talk to Dr. McIntyre, try to be clear about what the presenting problem is in your life, and then you're going to be more likely to get a heads-on reading like that. We're moving on to area code 931. And you are live on the air. What is your name, please?
Hello.
Hi, what's your name?
Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Say hello to Dr. McIntyre.
Hello, Dr. McIntyre.
Hi, Jennifer. How can I help you?
Well, I'm having trouble opening up to my natural gifts as a medium. I've always seen spirits since I was a child, but often forget the memory of that until I see another one and it triggers it.
It triggers what? What do you mean?
The memory of a past seeing the spirit. Like,
I'm very sorry. I don't understand what your problem is. You mean visions come to you unexpectedly, like when you're driving to work or something?
Well, no. Like, I'll be in my yard and I'll see a spirit, you know, walking in my yard. Or I'll be at a friend's house or an acquaintance house and, you know, I'll see a spirit in their house or, you know, at Walmart.
Okay,
then,
so what's your question?
Well, I know I'm a medium. I'm a newly awakened medium because I never really knew
uh-huh.
that I was until recently. But I'm having trouble opening up to my mediumship, and I didn't know why.
Uh-huh. Well, because you haven't had any training, that's why. And you probably, without, you know, going into the Akashic Records, you undoubtedly were a psychic or a seer from a past life, and you've carried that ability with you. What you have to do is get associated with a good group that is developing mediumship, and you'll learn how to protect yourself so that these things don't just, these things do exist, and they are walking around in Walmart and on the golf course and stuff like that, but yeah. You don't want to see them all the time, right? So you have to learn how to cut off that psychic center, you know, or your third eye. You have to learn how to work with that. And then when you do want to communicate, or if there's, you know, a spirit being that wants to communicate, like during your meditation or something, then that's entirely different and under your control. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, ma'am.
Is there a group like that around where you live?
Not that I have found, but I've been searching.
Well, how have you been searching?
Well, I've been searching.
Is there a spiritualist church?
Is one, but it's an hour away, so I've been looking for something a little more closer.
Well, maybe you could call and at least talk to the minister of that church, and maybe, you know, maybe they can recommend something for you.
Yes.
Have you thought of doing that?
No, ma'am, but I will.
Yeah, very definitely. In the meantime, seal yourself in the white fire and the violet flame and the silver ray, and command only good and God can enter your being, okay?
Okay.
And that will keep these apparitions from just, you know, popping up like that, because
yeah,
that's got to be very disconcerting. So is that okay? I'm not going to give you a reading, because you need something right now. You don't need to know anything about the past. You need to know how to take care of yourself. And see, then that way you can, once you get control of that, you can help people, you know, receive proof and evidence of survival after physical death, if that's what you want to do. Okay?
All right. Well, I appreciate that.
Well, you're sure welcome, hon. You keep in touch. Let me know how you're doing, okay?
I sure will.
Oh, good. All right. Bye-bye, hon.
Okay. Good night,
bye-bye.
Jennifer. God bless.
God bless.
All right. We're moving on to area code 646 in just a moment. I'm trying to disconnect from Jennifer, but you can still listen. Hang in there just a minute, Jennifer. Okay. All right. Studio is being persnickety. There we go. Area code 646. You're live on the air. What is your name, please? Hello? Can you hear me? Area code 646. You are live. Okay. Well, maybe we'll get back to you. Hang in there. All right. We're going to move on to area code 570. Okay, you are live on the air. What is your name, please?
This is Marty. Hi, David. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome, Marty. How are you tonight?
Oh, hanging in there. Trying to stay warm.
Okay. Well, join Dr. McIntyre and tell her what your presenting problem is.
Oh, good evening, Dr. McIntyre. I was hoping you could take a peek in the Akashic record and maybe explain to me why I have never, ever felt like I even belonged on this planet or to my family or belonged anywhere, and people just baffle me and the world baffles me, and I frequently just feel overwhelmed just being here. Just being here, so, yeah. So I kind of have a funny feeling at the soul level that I'm not really from here, and, you know, I don't know.
And you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. You have tuned properly. And it's been, oh, my goodness, you haven't been to this planet for decades and decades, and you didn't even want to come now. But I think it's like a leadership an organizational ability, getting people organized when there's chaos. Do you realize that?
I usually do pretty well in like kind of panic situations. I don't melt down till afterwards. I keep my head till it's over, and then I become like a useless shivering ball of jello afterwards. But I do keep my head in a crisis. Yeah, I'm good in a crisis.
Okay, well, that's what I'm getting. That's what I'm seeing. The earth, I don't want to start preaching, but this is what I'm being told. That will help you to understand why you're here because your life on the planet that you came from, which is third from Earth, and you get to figure out what that is. They want you to relate to that planet. It wouldn't make any sense to you, because there's absolutely no other than possibly similar body shapes. Nothing else is conducted the way we do things on this planet. Do you understand that? It would just be a total loss to you.
A completely different societal arrangement,
exactly,
is what you're saying.
And that's
okay.
Why being here is so foreign to you, because it is, you know.
It's just overwhelming to me. Nothing seems to, you know, all the upside downness of our entire society and our way of thinking and our way of doing things, and people just don't make sense to me. Society doesn't make sense to me. I've always felt like an outsider, and it's just,
well, see, so that's,
yeah,
that, and you're living here, and so that just helps you to understand how different your home planet and your real lifestyle is. But you were sent here because the Earth is going through preparation for, like, a new era. I'm not talking about the end of times or anything like that.
Oh, no. I'm totally familiar with the ascension. Yes, I've been working on my ascension path for quite a few years now, so.
Well, so there you are.
It gets kind of lonely,
though, you know what's going on. So people... or beings, I should say, from throughout the galaxy that have the ability that you do, or the ability or the desire or the willingness to help during, changing times, have incarnated. They signed the contract that they come down here and see us through this change. And you're one of them, my dear.
So I'm one of the volunteer souls, as Dolores Cannon used to say, basically.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it.
That doesn't surprise me, but doesn't really surprise me at all. I've had a lot of people tell me I'm a starseed, and I've kind of known it in my gut for a long time. You said something about the third planet from here. Personally, the planetary body that always most resonated in my gut was Sirius, and I don't know if I'm off the mark on that, but I don't know. Just curious what you get.
Oh, I'm not. They're not going to give me a clue.
They're not telling
you the third planet. And that's it. I mean, really, it was a closed door. So
I have to learn astronomy now. Huh?
That will help you calm down or settle down and just realize you don't have to like everybody and things are in total chaos here. This is why the change is coming. You know, and so just...
Not fast enough for some of us.
You know, just stay in your heart and know that you're here to do good and try to enjoy the sunsets. I don't know what else to tell you because
That's my favorite. I love watching the sunset. That's funny that you said that. I adore watching the sunset.
Yeah, well, see, there you are. That's the beauty then for you to soak up. And, I understand how you feel because I'm not from this planet either, but I've been here thousands of times. So,
well, I think I've been here before. I just don't think I really belong here, you know.
Yeah, right.
when I got regressed, like, I, you know, I'm sure there was a lot of other lives. I, you know, you only get to see a couple for each regression, but I know I've been here. I saw, you know, a couple in particular that I know were here, but you know, I'd love to get more regressions. It's just pricey and I can't afford it, so.
Yeah. Well, listen, just send light to the planet and the people on it, that the consciousness be awakened to love one another and to think through their heart, okay?
I try to do that all the time. It just...
Okay,
boy,
well, you
it
keep
gets,
up
it
the
gets
good
frustrating,
work,
doesn't it?
Yeah, well, no, you have to keep, just keep doing it, and it makes changes, and, you know, if they're not as great as you think they should be or could be, that doesn't matter. Just keep doing it, okay?
So when
and
we get
keep
into
in touch
the,
with me.
So when we get into the new Earth, am I not going to feel like such a mutant anymore?
No, you'll have a job to do that's going to keep you busy and fulfilled. So there.
Yahoo, that would feel good. Thank you.
Yeah, okay, and God bless you.
All right, Marty.
You too, dear. Thanks.
Yeah,
you
take
folks
care,
have
honey.
A great night. You too.
Thanks so
bye-bye.
Much. Bye-bye. We're going to try one more time with area code 646. We weren't able to reach you before. I'm bringing you live again, trying to. Area code 646, can you hear me?
I can, thank you.
Oh, good. What is your name, please?
Helena? Yeah.
Well, welcome. Say hello to Dr. McIntyre.
Thank you. Hello, Dr. McIntyre.
Hello, Helena. Good to talk to you.
Same here. I guess I'm looking for more self-confidence.
Are you there?
I am.
Hello?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I think you disappeared there for a minute.
Again. Yeah, I'm looking for more self-confidence.
Okay, so, all right, let me see what.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're in the business world, aren't you?
More entertainment.
Entertainment. Oh, okay. And so you don't feel your entertainment is good enough, or you personally are not good enough for whatever?
I think I have issues with being good enough and just being secure in who I am and what I do.
And you don't feel that? Is that what you're saying? You don't feel confident in what you're doing?
Yeah.
That you're good enough?
Yeah. Just more self-confidence, yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, I see you in England as a small child, your little girl. And you have, let's see, you're probably, I don't know, between 4 and 6. And you have a brother that's, he's 7, I think. And you have a mother that's crippled, and you're all sitting in an alley. This is... behind one of the buildings in downtown England.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a couple of other children that are older that are kind of taking care of your mother and looking after you, and you're cold and you're hungry, and you're waiting for your father to come, and hopefully he'll be able to bring some food for you, because your mother's inability, she has a crippled leg. as the result of an injury that she sustained when a wagon ran over, just came too close mm-hmm. to her and practically ripped her leg off. And poor thing, of course, she can't afford a hospital. And so your father just kind of wrapped her as best he could, and she's just been sitting ever since, waiting for it to heal. It's never going to really heal properly, you're afraid, but there's not much you can do about that. So he has to get out and try to get food for you, and he has no job and no money. So and he doesn't want to turn to crime. He doesn't want to break into stores or houses, you know, to take money. So he's begging. And this is very humiliating for him. But, you know, I mean, you're a little kid and you're hungry, and that's all you're thinking of. And that's all you talk about is hungry. And the other people in your family say, oh, stop talking about that. Just shut up, you know, and they just like jumping all over you. And so every time you try to, say something, anything, they just tell you to shut up because they're tired of listening to you. And poor thing, you're starving, you know. But you have absolutely no rapport with anybody in that family. And as time goes on, it's kind of like they're putting me on fast speed now. You grow to be a relatively pretty girl, nice figure, and you realize that figure is worth money. And with money, you can buy food, and you don't have to be hungry anymore. And so you start selling your body. Mm. And it does solve a lot of problems for you. You don't like doing it. But you like having food. I mean, you're like a food addict. At this point, because now, finally, you found a way that you can, buy food, and occasionally you'll give some to the family. But for the most part, you don't have anything to do with the family. just a minute. I got to take some water here.
Yeah.
And so you know what you're doing is not a good thing. It's not a right thing. But you don't care because it's buying you food. And but as a person, you don't really like yourself. You just feel like an empty box that you're shoveling food into, which is, it's tragic that happens as a result of hunger. And that's why you lack confidence, and it's not confidence. It's, you don't really like yourself. That's what you have to do. You have to be able to look in the mirror and say, I am a lovely creation from the stars. I emanate light. I emanate love. I am love. You have to talk to yourself and let yourself know that you are a lovely, deserving person. Because you are. And if you had a lifetime where things were rough and you had to survive in any way you could, and you did, And you did, you know. But that was back then and there. It has nothing to do with here and now. Nothing at all.
I just have to tell you, I've got issues with overeating.
Oh, really? Oh, for goodness sake. Well, so that's pretty evidential for you, isn't it? And
it
that's
is.
Why then. You carried that forward, too.
Yeah.
So now you know how to work with it and how to cut down the appetite. Just, you know, the best way to change your eating habit, you're sitting at the table, you put your hand against the table, and you push your chair back. Did you get that picture? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh.
Yeah.
You got that picture.
Yeah.
Okay, and just keep telling yourself, I am, you know, of good and God, and I love people, and, you know, I want to help, and talk to yourself. It works. I did it. It works. Try reading my books. That will help, too.
I will. I'll check them out.
You can check those out, of course, on the website also.
Is your website is your name, Dr. Mary Lou McIntyre?
Not the doctor, just Mary Lou McIntyre.
Okay.
I didn't get the doctor until I was halfway through writing the books.
Well, thanks for calling in, Helena. God bless
you,
dear. Okay, have a good night. We're going to take one more caller, and that's going to be it for tonight, folks. And the lucky caller, I'm trying to disconnect from Helena. Hold on just a minute.
Okay.
The lucky caller is area code 805, and I'm trying to bring them live. Hang in there. We're going to try one more time. Okay, you're live on the air. What is your name, please? Area code 805, can you hear me?
Hello?
Guess not. We'll move on to another.
Hello?
We don't have time.
Hello?
Oh, wait. Okay, hang in there. Okay,
hey,
what's
Dan.
Your name, please?
This is Donna. Hi, David.
Hi, Donna. Okay, just to let you and Dr. McIntyre know, the electronic lady is going to come on in 7 minutes and say there's 90 seconds left, 60 seconds left. It's okay to run over. So pay no attention to that lady. But go ahead and say hi to Dr. McIntyre and tell her what your presenting problem is.
Hi, Dr. McIntyre.
Hi, Donna.
My problem is this in my life. I'm not in a relationship and I'm not working. I'm on disability because of nervous breakdowns that I had in the past. But I'm, you know, trying to overcome that and find something, you know, to put purpose in my life.
Okay, and so what would you like to know? Why you don't have purpose? I mean,
right.
I'm not quite sure what to look for here.
Yeah. I don't know what to say. what are you coming up with as far as past life?
Well, I'm trying to figure out how to help you. And let me see, is it, you have no purpose in life, is that, and you want to know why you have no purpose in life, or why you feel you have no purpose? Okay, well, let me see, I'm going to South America, I'm going to Peru. You've had quite a few lifetimes on other areas.
Yes.
Other countries. Okay, so this one is in Peru, and I see you as a young boy. Oh, you have a very happy family. It's like a huge campground, and there must be over 100 people, and it's just a wonderful communion with God and with the planet and with the plants and with each other. And I see you with a bow and arrow, but it's more like a game. The young boys get together and shoot at targets, because you don't eat flesh, you eat plants and vegetables and somehow seeds have been given to you where you can grow the vegetables, and you know, now everybody has those vegetables and the plants, and you even eat leaves, and some of them are quite minty. I think we have some like that, but I think it's called mint, you know, and that's a plant that you had. I can see you eating it as a small boy. As you're growing, you're learning, you know, how to farm the vegetables, you know, and but you're not very strong, and you tire very quickly, and people tease you because of that, and your family really gets on your case because you're not, you know, you're not sharing the work properly. You get tired to say, what they don't realize is that you're sick. And it isn't anything that shows or any like pain, except that you're really not growing, and your arms and legs are just so thin, and they don't. You get fed in proportion to the amount of work that you do. Oh, that's interesting. So the person that does the most work gets the most food. And since you do very little work, you get very little food. And, and so you're just wasting away. That's what your illness is. You're literally starving. And your family doesn't realize that, and they wouldn't. You know, they wouldn't do that if they realized you weren't getting enough food, and you don't want to ask for more because you don't want to be ridiculed. You don't want to be hammered and say, oh, you don't do any work, so you don't get any food, because that's what's happened in the past. And so you finally did melt away with the feeling in your consciousness as you left, the poor emaciated body, that you weren't worth anything and you didn't deserve to live. And that's a very sad thing to have imbued in your subconscious, and that's what you relate to. And that's why you don't feel the need to do anything. You just don't know what to do because you're not capable of anything. So you just have to figure out something in the area of money, sex, or power. There you go. How's that?
Yeah.
Because those are the three things that control our work or, you know, our lifestyle. So figure out what you want to do and then do it. And
yeah.
Do it on your own, you know?
Yeah. I'm always doing for everybody, though, my whole life. I mean, I do so much for people, and I don't feel the appreciation given back.
Well, then stop doing it.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think you're right. I'm going to stop doing it. Definitely.
Yeah, because that's just taking your time and energy. Find a source or find people that appreciate your work, okay?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, see how simple it is when you're not personally involved?
Yeah, okay,
and God bless you.
Have a wonderful evening, Donna, and thank you for calling. I'm glad that you were able to connect with us.
Me too. Very good.
Okay.
Thank you.
God bless. Well, Dr. McIntyre, we've had a tremendous response tonight. And for people that we weren't able to get to, please keep in mind what Dr. McIntyre was saying. She's giving a full half-hour reading, $25 off, if you go to her website, MaryLouMcIntyre.com, and when you put in your contact information, put -David, meaning that you've listened to the show tonight, you'll get a $25 discount off what's a very reasonable reading to begin with. So it's Mary Lou, MariLou, McIntyre, MCINTYRE.com. And, you know, the thing is, this will also reach people on the podcast, Dr. McIntyre. So they will be hearing that also, and that's just for this month. Is that correct?
Yes, it is, just for this month.
And the month is February, folks.
Yes.
Oh, just to be clear about that.
Yeah, just to be clear. And also on my website has a summary and excerpts from my three books that I didn't get a chance to talk about, but you can go to the website and they'll help you life about life after death and controlling your life and helping others. So that's pretty much a summary of each book.
Beautiful. And Dr. McIntyre will be back on the show again in April. In fact, I'm going to call you after the show to set a date, Dr. McIntyre.
Okay, sounds like a plan to me.
All right.
This was delightful, David. Thank you for the opportunity to help others.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, darling. So once again, we come to a close. Now we can pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience if we let it be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize.
Beautiful.
Take care, hon. God bless everybody.